We are starting in the book of Colossians for the probably about 8-9 weeks in this term one. And we probably in a book that maybe you're more familiar with than what we were last week in the book of 2 Kings. But in saying that, we still need to, I think, important to go over some of the background, the history, the context of where we're at. And why Paul has written what he has to the church at Colossae. Paul hadn't met these people. Paul hadn't been to Colossae, hadn't been to the church. It was started by a guy that Josh read out. We heard his name, Epaphras. He'd become a Christian through Paul, his engagement with Paul. Paul led him to the Lord. And Epaphras was at Colossae and he started this church in evangelising people to know Jesus. And Paul doesn't stamp his authority over this church as an apostle. He has a very kind, loving, caring sort of a way to approach these people in his letter. Very personal. To impart the truth. And to call out what was going on in this new church. And that what was going on was false teaching. Teaching that was separate to what Paul was preaching about the gospel, about who Jesus is. We get a bit of an idea about where Colossae is in the map of the Bible times. This is, we're just here. This is the church we're talking about. It's about 200 kilometres to Ephesus, which we're well aware of, where the book of Ephesians went. This is modern day Turkey here. And of course, if you head west, you've got Greece, and then somewhere over here, if I had a map, would be Italy, and that's where Paul is writing this letter from. It's about AD 60, 61, and he's in Rome, he's in prison. He's received a report from Epaphras that the Colossian church is struggling with false teachings, predominantly on Christology. Who is Jesus? What is the nature of Jesus Christ? Who is he? And Epaphras had come to Rome and he served with Paul in his imprisonment. And he confides in him. You get a sense of a sort of a mentor relationship with this guy Epaphras and Paul. Tells him, hey, this church that was started, you know, there's people that have been infiltrated by some false teachers. And so Paul sends this letter, he writes this letter. And he sends it with Philemon. Sends the letter of Philemon and the letter of Ephesians with this letter of Colossians from Rome. So these three letters get sent. With Tychicus and Onesimus. You might be aware of Onesimus, who was the slave who left Philemon. He did the wrong thing by Philemon and departed and left him, and that was in the area of Colossae. And then Onesimus came across Paul, and Paul led him to the Lord. And now he's sending him back to Philemon, the guy who he did wrong by. And here come these three letters to the church, to the churches at Ephesus, Colossae, and this letter, personal letter to Philemon. Well, there were false teachers at Colossae, and predominantly they were teaching that Jesus is not God. They were questioning the deity of Christ. The nature of Jesus. And this really made Paul believe that the church is under attack. And so he addresses them head on. While their message was Jesus plus traditions. It needs to be Jesus plus the spiritual enlightenment. And we need to tap into other things to have a fullness in your experience of spirituality. Paul says there's some clear non-negotiables.
And Jesus is God. And there's some fantastic words of praise and recognition of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Some of them are going to be looked at next week. I'm really looking forward to sharing those with you from verse 15 on. Focusing on Christ's authority and his superiority over all things. That Christ is the image of the invisible God. He has reconciled things to himself through his death on the cross. The people who place their faith in him will not only experience forgiveness of sin and be brought into a relationship with God, but a life is made available to be holy, to be righteous, as Jesus is. And not only does it counteract the false teaching that was happening in this early church, but it is a fundamental building block for Christian life and a great teaching to understand for the church then and for the church for us today. And we have broken it down into a few more points than this, but this gives us, with that in our mind about what's going on in this little church, here's a little bit of a breakdown of the letter. With a focus on the exalted Messiah, Paul talks about his experience that he suffers for the exalted Messiah, the pressures to turn away from, the things that the false teachers were talking about mysticism and other spiritual ways to be enlightened and other wisdoms. And he touches on those. Don't get distracted by them. Don't fall for that. And a large chunk in the second half of the book on the life that's made available to us through Jesus Christ. The transformed life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're really looking at two letters this morning, two prayers in this letter. Paul opens up in chapter 1 with these two prayers of thanksgiving for their faith in Jesus, their love for God, and their love for others, and the hope that they have in Christ, the hope that is to come, which is impacting then on the way that they live because of what is to come. And the second prayer from verse 9 onwards to 14 speaks to the wisdom and understanding of Jesus Christ, to mature and grow in order that they may live lives worthy and pleasing to the Lord. Have you ever been part of something that was big and unstoppable? As you think about that in your life and what that might look like, I was thinking about an experience, a really scary experience I had with he wasn't my brother-in-law then, soon to be brother-in-law, and he was moving from Armidale to Lower Plenty, and I was in the car with my two brothers. We were in the back seat, Dad in the front, and Paul was driving his old XC or XB Holden from the 70s. He had a trailer with all his stuff on the back, and this car with all that weight, the brakes stopped working. We're coming down Lower Plenty Road, if you know it, where your Lambie Road hits the thing, and it's a valley. And you're coming down we were coming down the right-hand lane, the lights were red, and all I heard Paul was say was, the car's not stopping. The brakes aren't working. Not what you want to hear. and we, by the grace of God, he swung into the right-hand turning lane, went through a red light where there was no other cars coming, and the unstoppable, what I thought unstoppable car, was stopped by the hill on the other side. So we got up to the top. I think we put that on Facebook at the time to get rid of it, that car. I don't know, maybe it's a business venture or that you've been involved in that has built momentum and it seems unstoppable. Maybe a sporting team that you follow or you've been involved in that just seems you build up so momentum and it seems like it's un, the unlosable. But if today you sit here as someone who has received Jesus as your Saviour and Lord, I can tell you, you're part of something unstoppable. And that is the gospel, the unstoppable gospel, that I trust has not only changed your life, it is changing the lives of people in all cultures, in all languages, in all nations around the world. And no power can oppose it, and there's no force that can slow it or stop it. And Paul speaks to this in verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith. Your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Here's what he's talking about. God is holy. Here's the gospel. God is holy. Humanity is sinful. And God has put a plan in place to rescue us through faith in Jesus Christ because of his death and resurrection. This is the unstoppable gospel. And it's impacted on your lives, he says. It's evident by the way that you live, the love you have for one another, the love you have for God. It's the church's most precious possession. We need it day by day. We need it week by week. We don't outgrow it. Paul says it's changed you. You have this hope in Christ. He has become your confidence. You've accepted him. You've become a church. You've become part of the family of Christ. You have this resolute hope. The future is secure. But it's not just that about you guys in Colossae. It's also changing the world. It's bearing fruit and increasing. Everywhere it goes, it upends things. It changes things. It's dynamic. It's powerful. Is that the gospel we know this morning? Is that the gospel we see in our lives, in our communities, in our unis, schools, workplaces, homes? That it's powerful. That it's dynamic. In Acts 1, the early church started with 120 people. They weren't in positions of power. They weren't well known throughout the world. A few days later, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 came to faith in Christ. Soon that was to be 5,000. I was reading during the week that by 300 AD, there were 6 million Christians in the known world. And by the 5th century, it became the most established religion in the known world. And since then, the gospel has spread around the world in the most surprising places. And we know of and support so many missionaries and mission groups who go to all places in the world to share the unstoppable, powerful gospel. I was reading during the week that just 40 years ago, Iran had about 500 Muslim background converts. 40 years ago, 500. Today, it has over 1 million. And in 2025, the statistics tell us that the gospel is being most fruitful in parts of the world that are known for following Islam. Not here in Australia. The unstoppable gospel. On Thursday night at cricket training, afterwards we have some dinner and most people had left and there was just six of us guys hanging around the table talking and solving all the world's problems. But we got talking about church traditions. The tradition of going to church, and these guys are all in their 40s, 50s, 60s. And in the 70s and 80s, it was the culture of the day. And we were just got talking about that and church attendance. And I'd said, well, you know, statistics tell us church attendance is sliding in Australia. And we were talking about that they all went to church at some point as children, Sunday school. Even though their parents didn't go to church, they got dropped off. Now, rightly or wrongly, people that don't have a faith in Christ, they don't go to church, they made a point, rightly or wrongly, I think it impacted on the way we lived. And I think it's impacting on the way that people living today. Because no one goes to church. All the people that they mix with. Apart from me now. Jesus said in Mark 4, 26, 27, this is what the kingdom of God is like. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. And though he does not know how. This is the unstoppable gospel. It's been happening for 2,000 years since Acts 1. And the gospel is unstoppable. It continues to be the power of God at work to save and change people. I've gone too far. This gospel has saved me. This gospel is transforming my life. It's changing my attitudes and my behaviours and my habits. What impact is it having in your life? As elders, our desire is to take every opportunity we have in this place to make Jesus known. But that's what our vision is. It's why the main reason we gather on a Sunday. We want to share the gospel. We want to make Jesus known, what he's done for you. Why we do ministries. Playgroup starts tomorrow. Kids club is starting up. Our youth group that's going to be running. Our Easter events. Our other outreach events. Our ministries, these events, they exist. Because we want to make Jesus known. We want to have opportunities for the gospel. To share it. To see its power at work. Because while church attendance might be declining, we believe that in 3094 and our communities, that God can use the gospel to transform and change people's lives. We want to be a place that we can bless people because God's love is seen in our lives, that we are a place where people feel like they come here and they belong. But that is solely for the purpose to be able to share the gospel with people, to see them believe in Jesus, that they might become like Christ in the way that they live. That is the power of the gospel at work. But here's a problem. And this is why the letter was written by Paul when he spoke to Epaphras. This is why the letter of Colossians is written. There's a problem. The unstoppable gospel message is being diluted. It's being added to. And the church at Colossians, and the danger for the church at Monty, and the danger for the church globally, is that what we have is the unstoppable gospel, the power of God at work. Oh, but it's so easy in the culture we live in to add things to it. And it starts to become a blended gospel. And the dangers are spelled out by Paul in chapter 2. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. Don't let it happen. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Jesus Christ. In every generation, for 2,000 years, I think Christians have been tempted to go along with hollow and deceptive philosophy, popular culture, to fit in. And to start blending the unstoppable gospel. I think we need to ask ourselves, what might we be adding to the unstoppable gospel? In recent times, I see a strong push, especially in the West, I think, culture, that the greatest thing you can do for yourself is to be true to who you are, to express your uniqueness. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, you go ahead and do what you think is right, what feels good to yourself. And the moral compass of the Western world is so skewed, not even the Western world, the whole world, but especially the Western world, as that's my experience, is so skewed that it does impact the church. It is impacting the church. It is impacting the way we spread the gospel. One of the many struggles for Christians in the culture that we live in, the pressures that we face, one of the pressures that we look at, one of the things that we are dealing with is sexual purity. And the way that that impacts on the unstoppable gospel being effective in our communities. Sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is sin in the eyes of God. It's not popular to say that. It's not popular at all in this day and age. You could be called a bigot. That is hateful language. That's not accepting words. You're not a place of belonging if you say these things. But to preach differently, to live differently, or to act and accept these things is actually to go against God's word. And if we blend our popular opinions to fit in or to show that we accept for the sake or at the cost of the gospel, then we are in grave danger of losing grip on what is powerful and what God has put in place to save people and to transform people. And this is the danger the Colossians faced. And it's a danger that we face today. And so Paul shares about with them in the second prayer in verses 9 to 14, a prayer for fullness. That the things that you're hearing aren't needed to experience fullness of your life in Christ. That we don't need to accept in 2025 the things of our society and blend them with the gospel to experience fullness in our life as Christians. We need to recognize that we are sinners. We need to acknowledge that God is holy. And we need to believe by faith that Jesus gave his life and was resurrected. And that is the only way to be forgiven and to know God and to have a hope of security in heaven for eternity. And specifically, Paul says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God. Not just to have knowledge, but in order to walk, to live in a manner worthy of him. And these are the things that you will see, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience in this life, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Here's a little checklist, Paul says, that is the impact of the unstoppable gospel's influence on your life. Seek more of who God is. Don't seek pop culture that will come and go and change as the years pass. These are the things that the unstoppable gospel will have impact on your life. You've been changed by the message of Jesus. You've been saved into a relationship with God. Don't be tempted to modify the power of the unstoppable gospel. May we never be tempted to modify the gospel, to take away from it, to add to it. And Paul prays that they'll reject the counterfeit teaching. Jesus plus, Jesus plus. Reject that. You don't need that for fullness. Because what you have already, you don't need to add to it. You just need more of it. You don't need anything new. You need more of what you already have got. And as you grow in your knowledge and your understanding of God's love for you, of who he is, and of who you are in Christ, oh, may you be dependent upon Jesus in every way. Oh, may you live to stand up for what is true and right and see these things for what they are. That they are lies and they are not necessary and they are not needed in the church. And my prayer for us too is here at Monty, may we recognize we are part of something unstoppable. The gospel is powerful to save and to change our lives. It's being seen all around the world. Maybe we recognise in 2025 it's not being seen enough here in this place, in our community, in our city. And our world, our culture is all around us wherever we go, and it's saying Jesus is not enough. It's saying Jesus doesn't bring fullness to your life. Sometimes it's saying Jesus is not even needed. Jesus doesn't even exist. Don't buy it. Don't buy into it. Don't listen to it. Don't let it impact your understanding of who God is. Make sure we come back to the Word. That you open Colossians, a great place to start. We get grounded in the Word. And we realise that we don't need anything new in 2025. Oh, we just need more of what we've already got. Father, may we understand more of who you are. May we have a knowledge, a greater knowledge and awareness of your character, your nature, your love for us, your purposes and plans for our lives. Lord, may those things happen in order that we live lives that are pleasing to you. May those things happen that you transform our life and change the way that we think and live. And may that impact those people around us. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. Thanks, Andy.